What is up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to episode 197 of the Massive Breakdown Podcast. We are closing in on that 200th episode. Unbelievable to me that we are almost at 200 episodes, but we're really excited because this is the first episode of Season of the Chosen. It's the brand new season. We're on a delayed season release schedule now, but Season of the Chosen is finally here. Story-wise, it has brought us a ton of new details, stuff that's going on, some really fantastic voiceover work from Zavala. It's brought a ton of new rewards, new perks, new activity. Hasn't brought anything new for PvP, unfortunately, except for some new stasis stuff, which is like everybody's worst nightmare at this point. But we're gonna talk about our findings from Season of the Chosen so far. We are not gonna do a weapon breakdown this week. We'll do one next week because we have only played for 2 days, seeing as it's Thursday and it released Tuesday. And I have a limited selection of the new weapons. Haven't even gotten to try any of the ones that I really, really want. So we're going to be saving that for next week. But we are going to be talking about Arval thoughts, and we're going to do something new. We have discovered that Light.gg has the ability to filter out and show just the new perks. So even though we haven't had a chance to break them down, we're going to point out the new perks that are in the perk pool, what guns you can get them on, and we're going to point you in the direction of anything we think might be pretty sweet. I'm also going to talk to you about what guns we personally are going to be chasing from what we've seen so far. And in general, we're just going to be talking about whether or not we're having fun. But that's the longest introduction ever. So first, let's get the real introductions out of the way. As always, I'm Mercules, joined tonight by Kit Kutcha. And how are you doing this evening, Kit?
Well, Mercules, I'm doing pretty well. I enjoyed diving in to the beginning of the new campaign. I enjoyed smashing a chest open with a giant friggin' hammer. I always enjoy having some new PvE stuff to do. So I'm cautiously optimistic that I'm going to have some fun this season.
Yeah, I can say that if there's one thing last season got right, it was the story. The narrative and the lore was really fantastic. And it looks like we're starting off strong on that foot for Season of the Chosen as well. However, I do have to say the Wild Hunts last season were a little bit disappointing. They were fun, for like one or two runs, and then there was basically no variety to them, and they were quite boring. Yeah. And I am liking Battlegrounds a lot more than I like Wild Hunts so far. It's not super mechanically intense, but there's probably more enemies in a single zone than I've ever seen, I feel like, at any point in time in Destiny. They're just like flooding the zone with enemies, and it's just a constant slaughter. I like that there's modifiers and stuff. I really am hoping that at some point this season we see like a Nightfall style version of the Battlegrounds with increased difficulty and different modifiers and scoring and like a time limit. Like that would be something I would really, really like to see. But for just having played it for a couple of days, I gotta say I'm not really minding sitting down and just grinding them out. They're kind of like a little bit like strikes, almost like strike lights, I guess.
Yeah, it's sort of like if a strike was a horde mode that just lasted for, I don't know, 5-10 minutes, which is fun, right? You just kind of get free reign to just unleash your abilities, your weapons, and just unload and do as much damage as you possibly can, as quickly as you can. And I think it sort of showcases some of the things that Destiny does really well, which is blow up a whole lot of aliens real fast.
Yeah, it's a little bit like a sandbox time. Basically, you're given like a subsection of enemies, and you've got all the way from the weakest enemies to some of the really strong enemies, and there's just tons of them. And, you know, it's challenging-ish, but like not really challenging, but you're pretty much like, all right, you guys have your weapons and you have your abilities, like go wild, just like destroy stuff. And I gotta say, I've been enjoying it, and I like the challenge of the fact that at least at the current light level, I'm not just like burning through the boss, like, you know, or it's not extraordinarily challenging, but you know, we actually have to think about like, how do I want to do damage to this thing? Like, he's pretty beefy. I want to do some damage to it. Like, I've been enjoying it. It's not Sundial. It's not the Menagerie. But it's certainly, it's certainly my favorite of the activities, you know, on the front end. I want to say at least 3 or 4 seasons.
That's a gutsy statement. I think maybe I'm still just easing into it. I've only done a few of them, so I'm not ready to say that I like it that much yet, but it's definitely started well.
Well, what are your first impressions then of Season of the Chosen? The way too early opinion to give. Although, you know, we've also skipped our housekeeping, so we're going to have to circle back to that in a minute. But let's give him a teaser here. You're way too early. You're after 48 hours opinion of Season of the Chosen. How are you liking it so far? Do you prefer it to some of the other seasons from the past, or do you think it's not so strong?
You know, I like to hedge. I like to hedge everything. So it's tough for me to give that kind of a hot take. I'm going to start with the plot. I really enjoy that this feels like a continuation of the story from last season, that it really feels like Destiny's story is going somewhere. Things are happening. Things that we did in the past matter now. I love that. That, honestly, is going to buy more engagement from me than almost anything else they could do. And I think that, you know, it's very early in the story, for me at least. You know, I haven't had time to play for 20 hours yet. I've played maybe 4 or 5. And I didn't even spend all of that pursuing the main storyline. I decided to go off and start chasing some of my stasis quests to get that stuff unlocked. Soloing that heroic exo challenge, by the way, you did not successfully do that. Woof, gonna need some help. But I'm happy. I'm happy about it so far. So on the mechanics side, the new stuff, I'm definitely intrigued by some of the new perks we're going to talk about. I like that the update for this season is just like a wall of bug fixes. Like literally so many that I just glazed over and started scrolling at a certain point because I was just like, okay, I didn't even know most of this was broken, but they fixed it. And it all sounds like stuff that needed to be fixed. So I think that's awesome. The new activity is got me interested. And I haven't even considered jumping into the Crucible yet. So I really just can't even say anything about it. Except that I feel like it's going to be pretty much the same as it was last season. You know? And so, for me, this is going to be a nice few weeks off from the Crucible that I'll take to enjoy the PvE side of things. And then, you know, it'll be fun again to jump into the Crucible for a few weeks after that. And so I'm kind of looking forward to that as like my fallback after I get through all this stuff. So, but I'm not like, I have to play Crucible, right? There's no drive to do it. It's like, it'll be there for me. That's where I'm at. How about you, man?
I would say, I would say that I see a lot of potential here. I see a lot more potential here than I did with Season of the Hunt. I like the loot pool that we've got. I think they did a really good job of bringing back some good archetypes of weapons, not necessarily archetypes that we just immediately dismiss. They did a good job of adding in new perks that I'm excited to see how they change the way I play, and then I'm excited to grind out the roles that I want. I like the new Battlegrounds activity. Like I said, I'm a tiny bit concerned that if there's no modifications done to it over the course of the season, it will get stale. But the fact of the matter is the sandbox of Battlegrounds is fun, and it's a fantastic place to go get bounties done because there's so many enemies. I love that there were, like you said, so many bug fixes and quality of life changes. Like a massive number of quality of life changes came. Which I feel like Destiny 2 has sorely been lacking a season that was just like, okay, let's fix shit that's already in the game that's not working the way we want it. Let's make this stuff, let's streamline it, let's make it look better, let's make it work better. I really like that they did that. And as a PvE player, I'm excited that there's new stuff to do and new stuff to grind. As a PvP player, I am immensely frustrated with the basically state of disregard that PvP has been left in. And I was holding out a tiny sliver of hope in my head that maybe something just wasn't announced, but they were going to do something for PvP. But instead, they just added in more stasis things that are relatively frustrating, like damage reduction, whispers, and new abilities for the Titans that make their slide even stronger than it already is. Like, the Warlock one doesn't work particularly well right now, which is why you don't see a ton of it. It seems to be a little bit bugged. And the Hunter one is pretty much just what the Titan one already had, and it's pretty useless. It's just you get to pick up shards when you defeat, you know, frozen enemies or whatever, and it refreshes your melee, which isn't particularly good. Not good enough for me to switch off of it compared to the other ones. But, you know, PvP's struggling right now. It's really hurting. And as much as I want to be the player who, you know, is a jack of all trades, and it's like, oh, I try to play all the activities when they come out, like at least once or twice, at least once a character if I can do it. I try to do that, right? But the fact of the matter is that only takes me, you know, a month, maybe a month and a half, and then there's a huge gulf of time where I'm just playing PvP to get to the next content drop, and I'm very, very concerned. Like, it was rough doing that last season. Towards the tail end of the season, like the last couple of weeks, my playtime dropped significantly, simply because I didn't even see what the point of playing PvP was anymore. And outside of a couple new weapons that have been added to the loot pool, which I do appreciate, and the new trials loot pool, which also looks very, very good, which I do appreciate, the actual PvP ecosystem itself has received nothing. And the fact of the matter is that trials sucks to play. And just because there's new rewards, Trials is still going to suck to play, but there'll be at least rewards at the end. And I'm really starting to get concerned that we haven't heard anything from Bungie at all. So I guess kind of like you, I hedged. Like, I think on one side, like, there's a lot of positivity about the season, but unfortunately, the part of the game that keeps me coming back and keeps me playing day to day is languishing in a pit, and Bungie's not even giving it lotion to put on its skin. They're just like, hitting it with the hose, and that's it. For any of you who get that reference.
Well, you'll have to tell us all if those lambs ever stop screaming, Clarice. But which apparently is now a show on.
I know. If you watch CBS. The Super Bowl, it was like every four damn commercials were a freaking Clarice commercial, which is probably why I thought of that just now, but. You know, what we should have done is we should have done our reviews and our Patreon stuff first, because now we've gotten everybody in here, we've got them all worked up, and bam, we're going to hit them with the housekeeping. After 10 minutes, you just keep people guessing, right?
Yeah, you know, it's a trap, right? It's just, this. If you've watched Star Wars, you should expect a trap coming.
And sure enough, it was one. So, do you have the Patreon stuff pulled up, or you want me to do the reviews first?
I do.
You got three reviews this week, too.
I do. So I want to say some massive thank yous, as always, to The Shazzle and ZenSoCal, our ongoing sponsors. These Guardians contribute massively to support the podcast and help keep it ad and corporate sponsor free. I also want to extend a thank you to all of our ongoing sponsors, and a special welcome to two new patrons. So new this month, we've got Spicy Psyduck, which is just makes me hungry, I'm not going to lie.
He's actually one of the people who left us a review as well.
Oh,
so.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well done. And Snake Doctor, which does not make me hungry.
I would hope not.
Yeah. They say it tastes like chicken, but I just haven't gone there. Anyway, I appreciate both of you jumping into the Patreon. I hope that we see you on Discord. Please say hi and introduce yourselves. We've got just a fantastic crew in there. Check out the Patrons Lounge. Lots of interesting conversations always taking place there, as well as in the rest of the Discord. So even if you're not a patron, please join us in the Discord. It is a phenomenal place to talk about Destiny, and occasionally about other things as well. Spicy Brews is always a favorite, so jump on in there if you're of age, and share your favorite foods and brews, and Yeah. That's all I've got. Oh, I apologize. I did not. Very important clarification from last week that I wanted to make. So apparently when we switched our Patreon merch to being processed directly through Patreon, it started a countdown from the day that I turned it on, which was like January 25th. So if you pledged after that date and you're expecting some merch at some point, it will drop, you know, 3 months after you started pledging. If you pledged before that date, it will drop 3 months after the 25th if you continue to pledge at your current level. That's not something that was clear in advance. And if you decide to stop pledging before that's over, please direct message me on Discord and I will make sure that you get your loot anyway. I want to make sure that you guys are taken care of because you take fantastic care of us. So there's that. And let's go to the reviews.
It's very noble of you to make that apology on the show, because I know you said something in the Discord too, and yeah, it's funny how the loot situation seemingly is always delayed no matter what, but I promise you, there is loot to be had, it's just slow to get to you.
Every year, I manage to find a way to screw it up. Anyway.
But our long-term patrons can attest that they do eventually get their loot.
Yes.
And it's pretty good stuff too sometimes. I still, those whiskey glasses that we gave out last year, or that were supposed to give out last year, that ended up getting given out like 8 months after that, were fantastic.
Still last year for most people. Those are phenomenal, phenomenal glasses. Maybe we'll do something like that again at a point in time when I can drop ship them. Anyways.
Yeah. All right, so for the reviews, the first review is from Spicy Psyduck. He says, I like it a lot, 5 stars. But this is probably my favorite Destiny podcast, despite my overall attitude towards PvP in Destiny, and he says, mixed at best, in parentheses. Since I am a huge numbers guy in terms of gaming and like to dive into every little stat and perk to... Since I am a huge numbers guy in terms of gaming and like... to dive into every little stats and perks, so Better for This podcast is right up my alley. Even if I don't agree with every single opinion of the two great hosts, the way they construct and conclude their analysis and analogies is really intriguing. My only complaint is since they are both primarily console players, sometimes I feel like the podcast could really use more of a mouse and keyboard perspective. Hello from China, by the way. I don't think you guys get a lot of listeners here, which is really a huge shame. So first off, thank you, Spicy Psyduck, both for becoming a patron and for leaving us a 5-star review. But I actually wanted to see how many listens we got from China, since you brought that up. And it turns out that China is not even in the top 50 of our most listened nations. And for example, the 50th most listened nation has like 176 listens in all of the existence of the podcast. So you are correct that you may be the only person in China who is listening to us.
Which is too bad. And hopefully, you know, maybe you can spread the word.
It could also be that people in China are using like VPNs or something.
That's also possible.
It logs them as coming from a different nation, which is possible.
Yeah, it's very difficult to tell. I know the internet situation in China can be complex.
But thank you, regardless, for listening to the podcast and for supporting us and for leaving the review. And we also have two other reviews. We have one from Swiss Chris. He says, great podcast for the more discerning D2 player. Said, been listening to this podcast for a few years now, only rivaled by Firing Range for me. The lads cover all the details, and I love hearing about how perks or mods really work rather than my clanmates or my own interpretations of how they work. Keep up the great work. Thank you very much, Swiss Chris, and thank you for also listening to the Firing Range podcast, which we were supposed to do this week. However, we don't like doing Firing Range immediately after a content release because the YouTube boys have to get all their videos out and it cuts into their time. And we need more than just like a day because we record on Wednesday. We need more than just a day to play in the sandbox before we can accurately talk about the sandbox. But here on Massive Breakdowns, we only need 2 days and we got that.
Yeah, we don't have any YouTube careers to maintain or any such scruples about avoiding hot takes.
And, you know, I used to be that I had to. So I got the spreadsheet updated, which is item number one. Got that done. It used to be that I would try to start writing reviews. But now, because, like, for example, on Tuesday day, I worked Wait, what day is today? Today is Thursday?
Thursday. Never mind.
Yesterday. So Wednesday.
When we're recording, it's Thursday. When you're listening to this, who knows?
So Wednesday, I legitimately worked from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. And I even took my lunch like on a phone call while I was doing it. So it's like, what a lot of people probably don't realize is that I used to write those reviews like at work. I would physically be at the office, and my job as a special projects manager was like fix all the projects that nobody gave a shit about. Well, it turned out they were super easy. So I would like work for 2 hours in the morning, and then I would have like 6 hours of just sitting at the office at a computer doing nothing. And so I wrote reviews like all the time. And that's how I was able to get like a review a day and stuff like that, or multiple reviews a week. Now, as a product development manager, I do not have that luxury. If I am at my computer, it is me working my actual ass off, doing whatever bullshit it is that the company has me doing. And I have gone from working 2 hours a day to working, you know, 10 hours a day, and I no longer have time to write reviews. So I had to prioritize something, and the podcast took priority.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's real life. Real life has been crazy for all of us, I think. Over time, things always change, but...
I kept hoping that, like, it was just like, oh, it was because of this, or because of this, or because of this. Like, that's why I'm so busy. It'll taper off after the first month, or after the second month. And now it's been, like, a full year. Or I guess, yeah, February of last year is when I got this promotion. So now it's been, like, a full year, and it has not tapered off. It has, I believe that this may just be my new normal in terms of how much work I have to do, which I'm not stoked about. But, yeah, so... Unfortunate turn of events.
Way to drop the buzzword of the year there.
Yeah. But not an unfortunate turn of events. We have a third podcast review. And it's Came for the Destiny, Stayed for the Star Wars by Russian05, who obviously I recognize from the Discord. But he says, 5 stars, great podcast for all things Destiny and all things Star Wars. If you want in-depth looks at weapons, perks, mods, everything in between, you've come to the right place. Plus, they'll get nerdy about Star Wars, and who doesn't love that? Guys are great. Keep it up. And he is from Canada. So thank you very much, Russian05. Despite the fact that your name is Russian, you are from Canada, and we appreciate you leaving us a review. And I hope to see you around.
Yeah, very much appreciate it. All right. Well, does that round out the reviews?
That's all the housekeeping. It does indeed.
Okay. Well, thank you to everyone who left us a review this week. I hope to see some more interesting takes from y'all in the future. That was it's always fun to hear what people think about when they listen to the podcast. Sometimes it's not what we expect. So, this week, well, there's quite a bit that we could talk about, right? Whole brand new season, all kinds of stuff, but we haven't had time to even collect, like, even mediocre copies of all the weapons. And we kind of already talked about the sandbox changes, which came out and are basically what they are, and we haven't really, again, had time to get the weapons to see how the stability feels. Although, preliminarily, it sounds like the stability nerf to mouse and keyboard wasn't that bad.
No. A lot of people are saying they don't even notice it. But similarly, the stability buffs, so to speak, which are really just the camera movement things, I played a lot with a pulse rifle. I played a lot with a fusion rifle. Really couldn't say that either of them felt noticeably more stable. SMGs did feel noticeably more stable, but they still have more recoil than I personally would like. However, I did feel that now specking into stability made them like usable. Whereas before, I would have thought that no matter what you did, they were just garbage. Now I felt like base, they still weren't great. But if I specced into stability, I was like, oh, I can actually use this gun, which is nice. I didn't necessarily love it, but I could use it.
I did notice that as well. I happened to pick up an extraordinary rendition as my first pinnacle drop, and it felt very playable even without like, any particularly. I guess it has Zen Moment, which, you know,
we know what it does, which is decreases the camera movement in addition. So,
You know, and tactical mag didn't have particularly good stability, is what I'm getting at. I think it's 31 stability on it. But it felt very playable. I was definitely didn't feel challenged to control it or keep it on target. Again, I was playing PvE. I did not take it into the Crucible yet. So that's the real test of everything. But I felt like I expected it to be SMGs that were better, if anything, because of this, and I think that is what has panned out, so I'm going to give myself just an internal point.
Yeah, I mean, my first things that I wanted to hop into, I wanted to see how Fusion Rifles played. So I got my Glacio Chasms. I got one with the most range I've ever seen on a Fusion Rifle. Did not find that it was that it helped. So I have never seen as much range on a Fusion Rifle. I had Projection Fuse, I had a Range Masterwork, and I had a Range Barrel as well. I want to say it was like full bore or something. So I had very nearly 100 range on the darn thing, and
wow,
did not like it. Like I was like, I'm going to get every single darn meter of range I can out of this thing. Felt like I could not control it, even with the buff to stability. So then I walked down to a max stability, no range, obviously, because Glacio Chasm has high base range. I went down to a max stability. It was like Chambered Compensator, Stability Masterwork, and Particle Repeater, which is as much stability as you can get on that thing. 24 eliminations in a game with it. So I'm thinking now that, and then the one I'm using right now is a mix of the two. I think it has a Range Masterwork and Projection Fuse, and then Chambered Compensator. And I'm liking that one a bit. So a little bit more range, but a little bit more recoil direction, some stability too. So I'm thinking I'm going to be somewhere in between those two, in between max stability or half stability, half range. I think that's where I'm going to end up falling, but I'm trying to try them out right now. I like the fusions. I think the range buff did them well. It's not a huge difference, right? But I was consistently getting some kills that I like, you know, like I raised my eyebrows and I was like, ooh, like, all right. That feels almost like my Arentil from back in the day. Not quite, but almost. And I like that. It was a good feeling to have.
Well, that's good to hear. I was certainly more concerned that they would make them too strong than anything, because that's just the Fusion Rifle yo-yo.
I was too, and I think those fears may have been unfounded, because by God, how many fucking Fellwinters have I seen in the Crucible?
Wow. Well,
unlimited number.
Yes.
An unlimited number. So clearly no one was like, I'm going to go try fusions, other than me.
Yes. As I stated and is now a fact in the world, 85% of all Destiny players use shotguns. It's just science. Actually, interestingly, that's the same number of statistics that are made up on the spot.
What a weird coincidence that is.
Go figure.
All right. So there's about 50 new weapons that have been brought in here. Looking at them, the Battlegrounds has quite a nice slew of weapons. Trials weapons look fantastic right off the bat. There's new strike weapons, there's new crucible weapons, there's new gambit weapons. Honestly, in terms of giving us something to chase, I feel like they did a really, really fine job here. I mean, I'm actually like looking at all the weapons and like, you know, evil genius stroking the chin, like I see some targets here. But a lot of it, so here's the thing, when I was updating the weapon set spreadsheet, I was like looking, and I always look for like, is there a weapon that just stands out immediately statistically over everything else? And there were a handful of them, but it wasn't really like it has been in the past, where in the past sometimes they'd give us a gun, like, you know, what was it Spare Rations that did this when it first came out? It's like every once in a while they give us a gun and you're just like, oh, this is head and shoulders better than every other gun in its class. There weren't a ton like that this time. I really think the only one that just stands out a ridiculous, ridiculous amount. Palindrome is pretty good as an adaptive hand cannon. It's very, very similar to Allstringer. It's actually about as close to a clone as you can get. And then, weirdly enough, Shadow Price. Shadow Price seems to be a clone of Breakneck in terms of its stat package. And Breakneck always had a great stat package. The perk was just a little bit funky. So those are two that I'm definitely going to be keeping an eye on. But something that really stuck out to me, the Messenger, the new Trials Pulse, can roll with Desperado. So it can get the Redrix perk.
Wow.
Which is fantastic to see that coming back.
That should be interesting when people start to get a hold of that. There were certainly some people who could do some work with Redrix back in the day. So I guess we'll I feel like pulse rifles are in a pretty okay spot right now. And that certainly has the potential to at least take that pulse rifle to a pretty dangerous spot in the right hands, I think. So
yeah, it's going to be very, very good. I will. That will be something that will motivate me to get back into trials this season, which has not been able to happen for the last season. So I'm really excited about that. So if we're just talking about stuff that, like, right off the bat, I'm kind of targeting, it's the Messenger from Trials. I'm definitely about that. Shadow Price from the Vanguard. Really interested in that. Palindrome, also from the Vanguard. Now the Igneous Hammer and the Bottom Dollar are also, I know everybody's big into 120s right now. Those are both 120s and both energy 120s. Bottom Dollar's from Gambit. It's Void. Igneous Hammer is Solar. And again, from Trials. You know, there's a couple new sniper rifles. There's the Swarm, which is great because it's a high impact. It's a high impact machine gun, which is fantastic. You know, there's some good choices here. Now, unfortunately for me as a fusion rifle man, I was hoping that we were going to get another high impact, something that was like, you know, if you didn't get Glaciochasm last season, you're kind of screwed for like great high impacts. We did not. We ended up getting Trinary Star and I forget what Cartesian Coordinate as a redux, basically. Cartesian Coordinate is a rapid fire, which makes it absolute garbage. And Trinary Star, I was hoping like, well, even if it's not high impact, maybe it'll be precision. Nope, adaptive. So also pretty garbage. So unfortunately, not a fan of the new fusion rifles that came in.
Yeah, and you know, this is kind of what we talked about before, right? They, when Bungie buffs fusion rifles, they keep just buffing all of them, which just makes the good ones better and the bad ones still not good. I don't know if they'll ever take a look at trying to even the keel a little bit, give those shorter range, faster charging ones a chance to compete, or if they're just going to phase them out through sunsetting. But then they give us two new ones, and it's like, well, okay. But what are you going to do with these? I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do with them.
Yeah. So I guess what we can just do really quickly, because like I said, we obviously haven't gotten a ton of these guns. What we can do really quickly, I'm going to look at the weapon stats spreadsheet. I'm just going to go page by page and just talk about the new weapons that have been added in really fast. We can tell you what they do stat-wise. We can maybe even point out if there's any super interesting or unique roles on them. But what I kind of want to do is save the perk talk for when we actually talk about the new perks at the end. Because, you know, if there's a good role on like a Messenger and it doesn't have Desperado, it's probably like Outlaw Kill Clip, because that's pretty much what it always is. However, they did add in, I think, 7 or 6 like brand new perks that we've never seen before.
Yeah.
That are in the perk pool. So I want to talk about those after we talked about that. But let's talk about the weapons. We already spoke on the hand cannons. Obviously, there's Palindrome and then 2 120s. We've talked about that. Pulse rifles, obviously the Messenger is the one I'm going to be chasing real hard. There's also an adaptive, which is ARC. So, you know, think Last Perdition, basically. You know, it is what it is. I'm not a huge fan of the adaptive archetype now that high impacts are as good as they are. And then, but they brought back a rapid fire. They brought back Time Worn Spire from the Iron Banner, which is fantastic because we haven't had a rapid fire pulse rifle in what it feels like forever. Now, that being said, of course, rapid fires, they nerfed pulse rifle range a long time ago. Rapid fires got hit pretty hard by that. And they've never really quite recovered, despite the fact that I think they're pretty good, you know, pretty decent weapons. Time to kill wise, 0.8 seconds, which is good. Requires 7 crits and 2 bodies. That's not a super high percentage. Body shot time to kill is 1.4. That's not terrible. Of course, stat wise across the board, they're awful and everything except for aim assist. But I'm really looking forward to having a rapid fire pulse rifle in the thing again.
And the, you know, we're going to be talking about some new perks, but there's actually an old perk on the Time Worn Spire. Well, kind of an old new perk, Iron Grip, which was introduced last year, I believe. massively improves weapon stability at the cost of reload speed on these rapid fire pulses, that's a trade I would take all day. That's a huge like plus 18 stability buff. And those guns have always been difficult to control since Destiny 1. That's been the great challenge, is can you stack enough stability on them to keep them under control and get the fast time to kill, or is it just impossible to achieve? Iron Grip goes a long way towards saying it is possible.
And what's nice about it is that you also have the opportunity to get long range scopes on it as well. So if you're worrying about the range, there are a lot of other pulse rifles out there that you couldn't do anything about. On this one, you can get either Rifle Scope ST and give you plus 6 zoom, which is a lot of zoom. In my opinion, that's probably too much because the base zoom is 1.7. But you could get Rifle Scope SSF, which is only plus 5 zoom. And I think that's 2.2 is probably about as high as I would ever take it. But there's also 2 plus 2 zoom scopes, which at least gets it to 1.9 and isn't bad. That's Red Dot 2 MOA, Red Dot Micro. And I do just want to clarify, this does have one new perk as well, Iron Reach. There's a new Iron Banner perk. This one is hardcore, plus 20 range, minus 40 stability. Do not use Iron Reach on this gun, please.
Yeah.
Don't do that. That's not a good call.
I wasn't going to mention it because I know we're going to talk about those later. Yeah. It's there. It doesn't make sense here. I would personally, I would really hope to get a roll that gives me the choice between like the rifle scope and one of the red dots, because I'd like to try them both and see if the extra zoom is worth it, or if it just takes me in too close, and if I end up being happier with a little bit less zoom on what's certainly a much closer range weapon. I'm concerned that because this weapon has low base range to begin with, even all that zoom, you're not going to be competing with higher range pulse rifles, with high range auto rifles, even potentially, certainly not with scouts. So,
well, yeah, and that's, you know, almost meaningless because the 120 hand cannon is going to kick your butt anyways, no matter what you're doing. But look, yeah,
we can't win all our battles.
No, you know, I'm actually thinking we probably did this in the wrong order. We probably should have talked about the perks first, because every gun we go over is pretty much going to have one of these new perks. But, you know, we'll push through. We'll soldier through. Yeah. So moving on to auto rifles, I actually only added the one new auto rifle, and it's the Shadow Price. And the Shadow Price has a fantastic stat package across the board and has some interesting new perks on it. Unfortunately, it is a precision frame, which has not gotten a single bit of love since they dominated during the Uriel's meta in year one of D2. They have pretty much been scared of giving precisions anything since then. But, you know, they're not terrible. Obviously, they don't have a super fast TTK.
The thing that I would say about precision auto rifles is I feel like they have a little bit of everything that makes all of the other archetypes good kind of rolled up into one. They're faster than the high impacts. They're much more stable and easy to control than the faster firing ones. Their range is better than the adaptives. So I feel like if you're a newer player, or if you want an auto rifle that's just sort of generally useful, I think the precisions are a pretty good place to be. Like if somebody was brand new at this game, I would put a precision auto rifle in their hands. Because it's not going to be super hard to control. It's got enough ammo that you're not constantly reloading. And it hits decently hard.
Yeah, they're second best at everything, right? Like there's the archetypes. It's like high impacts have the most range, but they suck at everything else. You know, adaptives have the most handling, the most reload speed, and the highest. And you know, rapid fires have like the most mag size and the fastest TTK. Precision doesn't have the best anything. But they have good range, good stability, good reload speed, good handling, good recoil direction. The only thing that they don't have good across the board is their aim assist is quite bad. But everything else, you know, they're good feeling weapons, especially, you know, on PC or something. They're good feeling weapons. But I am going to be, despite all those things that we talked about, you know, without a fast optimal TTK, I was going to say you're limited, but the fact that 120s are meta is kind of proving that optimal TTK matters less when your ease of use is ridiculously through the roof. But I do not feel that that 450 RPM auto rifles have anywhere near the ease of use that 120 RPM hand cans do. So they have a 0.93 second TTK, 120s have a 1.00 second, but the 120s can hit you from, you know, 45 meters and can kill you with body shots basically at this point, and the 450 RPM ARs cannot.
Yeah. Yeah, they definitely require some crits. I will say I did pick up a Shatter Price with One For All as a pinnacle, and it has been pretty nice for wiping out large groups of ads. So I've not felt handicapped by it in any way. I think it's a fine gun for PvE. If you like auto rifles, they just feel good.
Absolutely. Scout rifles, we didn't get anything exciting. We did get a lightweight Eternal Blazon from Strikes. That is the distinction of being the only Omalon scout rifle that can get random rolls. Lightweights are okay. You know, obviously Mida, the most famous of the lightweights. I don't think they're particularly scaring anyone, but they're not terrible. They don't have great range, but they've got good reload speed, good handling, good aim assist. You know, it's okay. I'm interested in it because I love scout rifles deep in my heart, and I keep hoping that one day they'll be good again. But they're just, even with the aim assist buffs, I still find that the only scout rifles I really, really enjoy using are the rapid fires.
It does have kill clip though, so
mm-hmm.
There's some potential there anyway.
Yep. Submachine guns, Extraordinary Rendition, and the Multi-Mach CCX have both come back. I seemingly cannot stop getting Extraordinary Renditions. That it seems to be the only thing I get. I have probably gotten 10 of them so far, and I've not gotten more than like one of any other gun. So, like I said, they're better on console. I still feel that they need a body shot damage buff. I used it for a bit and I was like, it's not as bad as it was. I still didn't feel like it was good enough for me to be like, this is my new gun.
Yeah, I think that's probably pretty fair to say. Despite the fact that I did feel it was much easier to control in PvE, I would definitely want a role that was really leaning heavily into accuracy and stability if I was going to take it into the Crucible and expect to do a whole lot with it. Probably a pretty easy one to pick out God rolls on, but we'll worry about that another day.
Yep. Sidearms, we got a new aggressive burst called Brass Attacks. It's a void sidearm. And then we got a new adaptive called the Keening. The Keening actually has a pretty decent stat package, pretty much second only to Drang in that, but it does not have the additional zoom that Drang does. So it will still probably be weaker than it. But it's nice to see another aggressive burst. Unfortunately, it is not a kinetic, which I was hoping it would be. But yeah, still nice to have.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of the two burst fire sidearm, so I'll definitely be looking for that breast tax. I'm curious about the new frenzy perk we'll be taking a look at later is on that gun. I'm very interested to find out what an extended time means.
Yeah, Frenzy is a really, really interesting perk. I have not gotten it to drop on anything yet, and I'm very disappointed in that because I really, really want to test it. But like you said, we will talk about it in a bit. As far as bows go, Imperial Needle is a lightweight bow. Would normally not be anything that I was interested in. I don't really like the lightweight archetype, but it has the Frenzy perk on it, and it also has another new perk called Impulse Amplifier, which massively increases projectile velocity. See, we definitely should have done the perks first. Darn it, why did we do this? Because we're going to end up talking about all the perks by the time we're done. But it massively increases the projectile velocity. And that's something I think the only other places we see it are on rocket launchers.
Yeah.
So that's crazy. Because, you know, I'm pretty sure that when you fully draw a bow, it's hit scan anyways. Yeah. But I'm interested to see if this means that you can, like, fast draw a bow and get super quick velocity out of it, because that would be really, really helpful.
It's interesting. I feel like it would be much better on a precision bow, where the body shot damage is more meaningful. I feel like it's less helpful on a lightweight, where, like, if you're not fully drawing, are you really doing enough damage to matter?
And the answer is, most of the time, no.
Yeah. So I don't know. Maybe we'll see it appear on a precision at some point down the road.
That's actually more what I'm like interested in. Like, I want to see how it works on Imperial Needle so that then in the future I can get it on something I actually like. But what is more important than Imperial Needle is the new exotic Tiku's Divination, which, oh my God, I was complaining to Kutch about it earlier. This gun is my actual kryptonite. Number one, apparently it hard counters like Symmetry and Rapid Fire Scouts. Because I get killed by this gun more than every other gun in the Crucible, including Felwinter's Lie, which drives me insane. Secondary, I try to use it. It is the most maddeningly inconsistent weapon I have ever used in my entire Destiny career. It is the most inaccurate bow I've ever played with, at least on controller. And secondarily, the tracking, the little tracking things that you're supposed to use when you hip fire are so frustratingly inconsistent, where I will shoot it directly at a target and it will seemingly pick every target but the target I'm trying to shoot at, and then I pop back out to try to kill them and they don't have simmering flames or whatever it is on them. Yeah. Or it completely ignores multiple targets and just hits one, and then I try to shoot one of the other targets. It's like, oh my God, I have never been so angry using a weapon before as Tiku's Divination has frustrated me. And then secondary, it kind of sucks against like super aggressive play. So it perfectly counters my play style, but then I try to use it, but nobody else plays my play style. So I just get shit on the entire time. Like I was telling Kutch, like I usually go like 10 or 11 games in a row with over a 2.0 KD and control, right? And I've gone like 10 games in a row without getting a 2.0 KD because I'm using this damn gun. But the thing is like I see the possibility of how good it can be. And every once in a while, I'll like ascend to that level and it'll just be like, bam, 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 like triple kill. And I'm like, holy shit, that was some Legolas style murder. And I'd love it. And then I go back to dying 15 times in a row.
Like I said, I have not been in the Crucible at all yet. I anticipate, based on the quest that we have to get bow kills in the Crucible, that probably friggin' everybody who loves PvP is up in there right now. Just like they were with Arbalest when it first came out and everybody had to get PvP kills with it. And I totally didn't play PvP for those weeks and didn't really have to deal with it. And I think that's probably what's going to happen here. I'm probably going to just skip the phase where everyone is all up in there, the kind of the honeymoon phase where everyone's just like doing it and loving it because they have no choice, or they've given themselves no choice. I was very unimpressed with it my first few outings in PvE. Since then, I feel like I've gotten a handle on it, and I feel like I've gotten much more adept at using those, and running strikes with it has been a big help in terms of kind of being forcing myself to get a handle on how to use it effectively.
I've used it a ton in Battlegrounds. I've also used it a ton in PvP. My determination that I've come to so far is something that I don't think a lot of people notice, is that you actually do not have to draw it at all when you hipfire it. The hipfire arrows will instantly track and they have basically unlimited range and they do not have any downward like slope to their flight path.
Yeah.
So you can just tap the trigger and fire it, hip firing, to mark targets. Then if you hit them with a crit, if you hit them with an ADS crit or an ADS shot at all, it will do the normal damage for a normal lightweight bow archetype. And then if they are attached or if they are marked by the Sacred Flame, I believe is what the actual perk is called, Sacred Flame, which happens when they get hit by one of the hipfire arrows, it will explode and it will double the damage basically that was done to it. So, you know, usually that means if they've taken any chunk damage at all from something else, a Sacred Flame hit and then a body shot hit will kill them. But if a player is full health, most of the time you need a crit because it doubles the crit damage. It does 260 and it will blow anyone up. That's not in a super. I have found that the body shots, I think, do 9 per one, and there's 3 of them. So if you hit all 3 on one target, it will do like 27 damage, right? And then I think a normal body shot ADS does 80 So, you know, if that, you know, that generally isn't going to kill anyone unless they've already taken damage from someone else. However, this gun is an absolute freaking monster at team shotting. Because if you have multiple people using this gun, you can basically dominate a lane. If you have a couple people hip firing and a couple people just going through ADS and you guys just work as a team. I played one of the very first games, like my second or third game, was against a 5-man that was all using this. And I have never experienced a level of frustration. You literally could not do anything. It was like a sniper that had perfect hipfire accuracy every single time, tagging you the second you stepped out from behind any cover, you were tagged, and then another one of them was shooting you. And because they were all shooting the tracking arrows, they all were doing that chip damage. So you were getting hit by multiple tracking arrows, so they were only really having to hit body shots to get you to detonate and kill you. It was the most insanely frustrating thing I think I've ever played against. It was incredible.
Yeah, I mean, the bow, has some serious potential for teamwork. It's one of those weapons where it's a little bit of a meme by itself, but like the Rat King, when it travels in a pack, you're going to fear it. I think that Frenzy is probably going to die down. I think people are going to probably just use more aggressive playstyles to outmaneuver it over time. To a certain extent, anything when played in a 5 or a 6-man group is going to be overpowered. So that said, though, it is potentially quite good. And it has a lot of potential for ad clear on the PvE side. I think it pairs extremely well with a Warmind cell build. If you lean into the solar cells, you can just generate so much explosion. All the explosion will be on your screen at the same time. It's really, I think, probably going to end up seeing a lot of use. And I'm glad that I didn't vent my initial distaste of it too publicly, because I have come full circle and I am now convinced that it's probably going to be a staple of this season's PvE build. So
I'm going to get you with it eventually. Eventually. I'm going to slam my head against the wall until I can master this gun. And also I just saw Astacross got the Catalyst. And the Catalyst makes it to where if you do a perfectly drawn arrow that causes a sacred flame to detonate, it increases the damage of your next ADS arrow. And if you hit someone with an ADS arrow, even if they're not attached to Sacred Flame, it increases the duration of that damage buff. So I'm looking forward to getting that, because I think that could be pretty decent as well. So, yeah.
That does sound concerning. Maybe this will see more PvP play over time.
That is my mission. Like, my mission right now is to get the Catalyst and to master Tiku's Divination so I can never use it again, because I cannot stand being bad at things, and in particular I cannot stand being bad at something that seemingly is used against me with unlimited ease and just like causes me no end of suffering when I don't use it. So I will master Tiku's Divination, but for right now I am absolute garbage with it.
Well, best of luck to you on that.
Thank you. Moving on from those things, we do have two new sniper rifles as well. We got an aggressive Frozen Orbit from the Crucible, and then an adaptive Far Future from the Battlegrounds. I have used both of them so far. I found Frozen Orbit to be a bit unwieldy. It does have 50 zoom. I liked Far...
It also has 50 perks.
Yeah. And yeah, it's just like Stars and Shadow, where it has like a huge perk pool so that you can grind them out for the entire season. And then Far Future I liked a lot more. It does have 45 zoom. However, I did, just before I got off to do the podcast, I was playing and I got a Frozen Orbit that dropped with Quick Draw, so I'm going to give that one a shot and see if it was better. I had one previously that had pretty decent handling stat, pretty decent handling perks, but the handling stat is 28 base, which is terrible, and it was extremely noticeable how slow the handling was on it. So I really did not like that. But Far Future felt a lot better. Far Future is very similar stat-wise to Eye of Soul and to Beloved. I would compare it more strongly to Eye of Soul because they both have 45 zoom and Beloved had 40.
Well, fair enough. I don't really have anything to add about either of those. I have not seen a whiff of them yet.
Only a single new shotgun came out, is the lightweight Retro Futurist that they brought back from the Crucible. Have not gotten one of those, don't really have a ton to talk about. It is just a lightweight. I'm assuming if you like the 7th Seraph CQC, that you will probably like Retro Futurist. Fusion rifles, we already spoke about. Grenade launchers, the only grenade launcher we got was the Salvager's Salvo, which is the new pursuit weapon, which is an interesting gun, and in that there was a little bit of fear before the season that it was going to be something like a poor man's mountaintop, and I am kind of seeing it not nearly as troublesome as mountaintop, obviously, but it does have some interesting perks. It has chain reaction, which is pretty great. It has spike grenades, it has quick launch, and it has ambitious assassin. And then the alternate perks for ambitious assassin, it would be demolitionist, and for chain reaction would be vorpal weapon. So I mean, that's a pretty darn good role if I've ever seen one. For a breach action grenade launcher.
Yeah, it is. I actually wanted to briefly jump back to Retro Futurist because I was actually... I'm actually a little bit interested in getting a hold of that one because I noticed that it has trench barrel and I haven't had an at-power level trench barrel shotgun in a hot minute. So I'm feeling like maybe some assault mag, trench barrel, dual loader action could be a good time. On strikes, just running up and wiping out the majors and the bosses real easy with that. But yes, we can talk about the grenade launcher now.
Of course I would not have even noticed trench barrel because all I do is PvP. So like the idea of me using a trench barrel shotgun, I don't think I've ever used a trench barrel shotgun.
Oh, you're missing out. Anything,
ever. So it's, but I mean, would you use a trench barrel shotgun when you have swords now? I mean, well, was the sword nerf that much? I still see everybody in my battlegrounds has a sword, so.
Sometimes in life, variety is important, right? I've been killing things with swords for going on 6 months. I'd like to mix it up. I'm actually using a rocket launcher right now, which we'll talk about in a second here, because I'm super happy with what I got on it, but.
Goodness. We also have two, we don't really need to talk anything else about Salvager Salvo. I don't have it yet. I don't, you know, there's not really a role to break down. I have been killed by it several times in PvP, which makes me think it might be okay. But I look forward to getting it for myself and then never using it because I boycott breach action grenade launchers because they're the devil. But there are also two linear fusion rifles that we got. Tarantula came back. It's a world drop. Threaded Needle is a battlegrounds drop. Nobody likes linear fusion rifles. Nobody will because they get no love in the heavy weapon slot. They don't do enough DPS, and nobody uses them in PvP, so we can skip right over those. Machine gun, obviously the Swarm. I am quite excited for the Swarm. I very much enjoy the high-impact archetype, and the Swarm in particular is pretty good. Good range, best stability in class, fantastic recoil direction, highest inventory, even the highest aim assist, which isn't saying a lot because they're all in the 30s, but I'm pretty excited for the Swarm.
Yeah, it's got a good perk set as well. To go along with all those excellent stats. So I think it's going to be very handy in both PvE and PvP. I'm going to make this definitely one of the guns that is worth farming to get multiple good rolls on.
Absolutely. And then rocket launchers. There are two new rocket launchers, and luck would have it, they're both my favorite archetypes. I only really like two of the archetypes. I like the high impact archetype, which is the same as Sleepless and Tabara's Answer, which I've been using. For the last 2 years, I've pretty much been using one of those two guns in my heavy slot. And then Precision, which is the little mini tracking rocket launcher, which is my second favorite because the Zenobia D. So they added in the new high-impact Code Duello from the Battlegrounds and the Precision Royal Entry from Strikes. And there are so many new perks on these rocket launchers. They have Impulse Amplifier, which is the massively increases projectile velocity, which I am stoked to use on the high impact one because the velocity is terrible on it. I'd be a little bit more wary to use it on the precision because sometimes high velocity makes the tracking rockets track less effectively, so to speak. It almost makes them a little bit easier to dodge if the target just moves,
Yeah, they don't have quite as much time to turn to find you before they get to you.
Right. And then, you know, it just... And they both have Lasting Impressions, which is a new perk, which is rockets attach on impact and detonate after a delay, increases the blast radius by 50, and increases the damage. Also, really excited. Got killed by that, like, one of my first games into the Crucible, when someone shot a rocket and missed me, and I was like, oh, and I didn't think anything of it, and then, like, 10 seconds later was killed by a massive explosion.
It is truly a massive explosion when this thing goes off. So I picked up a Code Duello with Impact Casing and Lasting Impression. And it doesn't have tracking, so I actually have to hit my targets. So it's PvE only, probably, for me. But, I mean, damn. Like, I'll just tag a target and then stand around a corner and reload. And, you know, 5 seconds later, it's just like, boom.
I'm so happy that rocket launchers got a little bit of love this patch, because they just got some fun new perks. Chain Reaction is a fun perk on rocket launchers. Lasting Impression is fun. The velocity perk is fun. I mean, like, I'm so stoked. Impulse Amplifier is a velocity perk. I'm so stoked to see rocket launchers hopefully be decent again, because they have been just maligned and forgotten for what feels like years at this point. So I'm really, really happy. I'm absolutely going to be trying to get a good roll of Code Duello and Royal Entry, because I need something to replace my Tomorrow's Answer.
Yeah, I'm definitely hoping I can pick up a Royal Entry with Chain Reaction. I feel like that's just, like, got so much potential. So I'm stoked for both of these as well. I always liked a good rocket launcher. And they felt so weak for so long, and they just, so far this season, that to me is the weapon class that has stood out as feeling like the most better compared to last season.
Yeah, although I should clarify that Tomorrow's Answer has also been refreshed with new perks, and it also has Impulse Amplifier and Lasting Impressions and Chain Reaction. So nice. You have multiple options for a high impact rocket launcher with the new perks on it. And then the last gun that we're going to talk about, Sola's Scar, is the Trials Sword. They are just memeing on the Trials players. They know how much of a problem sword peeking and three peeking is in Trials, so they gave them a sword, which on top of it is also a caster sword. So super, super interestingly, and I could be wrong here, but light.gg shows it having Chain Reaction.
I saw that
as a perk in the final slot, which would be unbelievably hilarious.
I feel like that's a must have.
Yeah. I mean, a caster sword that has Chain Reaction on it, this is as close to Boltcaster as we're ever going to have in D2, I think.
I think it's a must have. And I'm super not looking forward to farming it, but gosh dang it, I think it might just have to happen.
I will say this. I hate the state of Trials, but my God, I care more about the Trials rewards for this season than I've cared about anything coming from Trials in a very, very long time. All three of the guns look like must-haves. The ship, the sparrow, the ghost are all phenomenal. Like, I am... The armor looks great. Like, they put a lot of effort and a lot of time into making the Trials rewards good, and... Thankfully, I play on Xbox, so I don't have to deal with PC Trials. But, like, I'm not particularly excited to play Trials, but these rewards look really, really good.
They do. Hopefully, there are going to be a lot of people who feel the same way we do, and the population swells and the experience is significantly better than expected. Fingers crossed, folks. Fingers crossed.
All right, so now it is time to talk about the perks. We actually didn't go through every single perk, which is good. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 new perks that we're going to talk about. Some of them we did touch on, but there are some really cool ones in this. I think this might be the best batch of new perks they've added in a long time. And part of me wants to say, like, see, Bungie, this is what you need to do. You didn't need to sunset guns. You just need to bring new perks into the loot pool, and then only the new guns could roll with the new perks. That's how you convince people to chase. I'm not chasing the messenger because I want the messenger. I'm chasing the messenger because it's the only high impact pulse rifle that rolls with the perk set on it that I want.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I'm not chasing, you know, Code Duello because I want that rocket launcher because stat wise it's better. I'm chasing it because it has some awesome ass perks on it that I want. I already have a Tomorrow's Answer that I can use. I'm going to chase another Tomorrow's Answer because it has new perks on it. Like, that's what they could have done. They could have not sunset. They could have only sunset pinnacle weapons and left everything else on its own, or sunset the stuff that went into the vault, because obviously that stuff, like, you can't have people using guns you can't acquire anymore. But, like, come on, Bungie. This isn't that hard. So
I am still, this is just my, like, I feel like what is going to be my weekly reminder. I'm still bummed about my armor. I've decided that it's this season's season pass armor will probably be my next masterworked set, because it goes to 1610, and I don't want to masterwork a set that's going to stop at 1410 or whatever, and then they drop a new expansion and I've just totally wasted all that time.
Right. All right, so let's talk new perks. We've already talked about a couple of them. Iron Reach is a new Iron Banner. Massively improves weapon range at the cost of weapon stability. In terms of what it randomly rolls on, only two weapons for right now, Time Worn Spire and Multi-Mach CCX. Unfortunately, both of those guns are guns that I feel like really need the stability.
Yeah, that's just a no-go. I mean, plus 20 range, minus 40 stability. The number of weapons that is potentially good on is fairly low to begin with. Like, you could probably do that on, like, sniper rifles, high-impact hand cannons. I'm drawing a blank.
Bows, right?
I mean, like, bows, there's
stuff,
I guess,
where stability doesn't matter. Grenade launchers, rocket launchers, where, I mean, I guess they don't have... They don't have range, but we've seen, like, it's rangefinder doesn't affect range. Rangefinder affects something else. So, yeah, I mean, bows.
If it were
bows don't have range either. Bows don't have range either.
No, they have accuracy. So if we're to buff that instead, then, I mean, like, yeah, I would do that.
I mean, taking a 40 hit to stability, which it will never take a 40 hit because it will cap out at, like, the bottom limit, right? Like,
yeah.
Basically it just floors your stability, whatever your stability is, which I think is why they put it on an SMG, because an SMG stability floor is already... It's very close to it, so it probably just, like, goes straight to the stability floor. Maybe it's not that big. Maybe it's only, like, minus 10, right? But at the same time, like, what is plus 20 doing? It's a fraction of... it's a fraction of a meter per point. I mean, could add a handful of meters to it, but is it doing anything more than putting a high-zoom scope on it? I mean, yeah. Really? I mean, granted, with Time Worn Spire, if you use this and a high-zoom scope, now all of a sudden you have insane range, but... Yeah, I don't know. We'll have to play. I mean, there may be something we're not thinking about to where it's a good call. But, like, I just really, really struggle to make stability worse on any of these guns.
Yeah, I would agree with that. It's an interesting perk. I'll be curious to see how that SMG feels with it if I get one. I'm not very curious to see how Time Worn Spire feels with it, because I feel like I already know.
Yeah, Time Worn Spire's only got 54 stability by default, so it's 100% going to floor it out. Because I don't think you can actually send the stability to zero. Like, I think there's a floor that stability can
fall to. Yeah, it'll hit like 14 or 20 or something random low down there, and it'll stop.
So a much more interesting perk that I'm really excited about is called Bottomless Grief. When you're the last living member of your fire team, each takedown refills your magazine. So each kill refills your magazine when you're the last living member of your fire team. Rolls on Shadow Price, the Palindrome, and the Swarm. So all of the Vanguard weapons it rolls on. However, I may be mistaken, but I think that's actually a pretty darn strong perk for PvP, especially for Trials.
I think that there is definitely some real potential there for Trials. Certainly, if you were to have the Swarm with that and you manage to get heavy, could be a real game saver.
Well, you're never going to have enough ammo to ever
reach. Oh, you're right. Yeah, I'm thinking about if you were to pick it up. I'm thinking sixes. Boy, oh boy. But on the Palindrome, it's got some real potential. You'd have to play with a 140. Couldn't play with your 120, but Palindrome is real easy to use. Feels real
number
good.
Number one, I'm actually thinking for Nightfalls, that will be pretty helpful. Like, especially if you're using a hand cannon for Nightfalls, like, it would actually be helpful. But I'm thinking for Trials, like, just imagine the clutch where you're using a 140 and you engage one person and finish them off. Immediate refill. You immediately move on to the next person, finish them off. Like, I'm just already envisioning the clip of somebody killing three people with the Palindrome and Bottomless Grief and just having their ammo refilled every time. Like, they never have to reload.
This is a perk that I'm very excited to see spread to other weapons in the future, because I think there are a lot of guns out there that could be super good with Bottomless Grief.
Right.
Just imagine this, like, on a sniper rifle.
Yeah.
I mean, holy cow, on a shotgun. Oh my gosh, people would never put it down.
Yeah, and then there's another new perk called Flourish, which actually is not on anything right now that's in the API. But it's defeating combatants with, which God knows what that means. Defeating combatants with grenade abilities increases this weapon's damage. So my question, as always, will be, are they using combatants in the way they normally use combatants or in the way they sometimes use combatants, where combatants means anyone, or does combatants mean just PvE?
Well, the bright side is that I don't believe it actually shows up on any guns at all yet. So we'll never know until they introduce whatever weapon it's for.
Yeah. And then Frenzy. Frenzy is one of the most common new perks. It's being in combat for an extended time increases damage, handling, and reload for the weapon until you're out of combat. I'm not entirely sure what being in combat for an extended period of time means. I would assume that it means either firing your weapon or taking damage, because I don't know what other way they would define being in combat for.
Maybe, you know, bullets flying near you. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know how they define it.
Yeah, and it rolls on a lot of stuff. It rolls on Extraordinary Rendition, Imperial Needle, Brass Attacks, Far Future, Threaded Needle, Cold Dweller. So basically all of the Battlegrounds weapons it rolls on. I would probably be most intrigued with that on a primary, particularly something like Brass Attacks or Extraordinary Rendition, just because I feel like those are the guns you're most likely to going to be in combat for. Like, I don't know how much you can be in extended combat with a sniper rifle or extended combat with a rocket launcher or extended combat with a bow, right? Like, maybe more a bow.
This isn't Enemy at the Gates. It's not a 4-day sniper battle. I think Brass Attacks, for me, is the gun where I want to test this perk out. Those burst sidearms are just super easy to use. You can very easily get a kill, move on, and just sort of keep yourself, quote-unquote, in combat. Maybe it has something to do with enemies in proximity. Maybe it's all of those things. Damage and shooting at someone and being in proximity of enemies. But we'll have to play with it. I'm very curious to see what the buffs are, and I'm also curious to find out if you can trigger it with the weapon stowed. I suspect that you can't, but
if you could, it'd be pretty
dope. You could.
My concern is that if their combat for an extended period of time timer is too long, it will rarely activate in PvP, right? Like, it's a 5-second timer. Almost all engagements are done in PvP within 5 seconds. So, you know, maybe it's an exclusive, maybe it's a perk for Battlegrounds. Like, maybe that's pretty much what it's there for.
It very well
comes in all the Battlegrounds weapons. Yeah. All right, we've got two perks that we've already talked about that are both for rocket launchers, or mostly for rocket launchers, I should say. It's Impulse Amplifier, which is massively increases projectile velocity and increases reload speed. That is a pretty neat one. That rolls on Code Duello, Heretic, Royal Entry, Tomorrow's Answer, and the Imperial Needle. Honestly, even if it does nothing for the projectile velocity, if it just increases the reload speed on a bow, that is always a good thing, because of course the reload speed on a bow is the knocking speed of the bow.
Right.
So that I'm really interested to see how it works on Imperial Needle. But more importantly, I'm just stoked to see this on a high impact rocket launcher. I really want to see what massively increases velocity is, because I've got some lofty expectations in my head.
Yeah, I tried to look that one up in the Destiny Sets data search, but it didn't give the investment stat. So I don't know. I don't know what it does.
Yeah, and that's the annoying thing about traits is a lot of time the traits are a conditional somehow, and so it doesn't show the investment stat on them. The few that do are the Iron Banner perks. But, you know, and Lasting Impression, I think, actually shows plus 50 too. Shows plus 50 to the blast radius. But I am really curious what Impulse. Yeah, I'm really curious what Impulse Amplifier does.
And that's actually just a quick note because Bungie's verbiage is often very telling, right? So plus 50 to blast radius just gets an increases. But with velocity, they say massively increases. If 50 is just regular, like what is it? Is massively just like plus 100 straight up? Just all the velocity that you can possibly have? Is it like a... Maybe it doesn't show the investment stat because it's a multiplier. It's a scalar modifier. And so it has
no
cap.
Probably is what it is. Yeah, it's a scalar. You know, I honestly would think that Lasting Impression would have been 2 because, like, what if your blast radius is already 95? Do you only get a 5 bonus?
Or... You do. On Code Duello, you only get plus 5 blast radius. It's already 95.
Yeah, but it does a lot more damage.
But, I can't compare it to a Code Duello without, so I don't know what the difference is, but I can tell you it's a significant amount of damage that it's doing.
Well, and it probably has a scalar attached to it, too. Because, like, Alloy Mag and stuff like that, they all have scalars attached to them, even though they have a flat stat bonus as well. So I bet that it does have a scalar. So
I mean, it's a solid, like, 5-second delay before the detonation, so I would hope so.
So then we come to actually the last perk and my favorite perk, which I haven't heard anyone talk about yet. It only rolls on one gun. It's the Exile's Curse, which is the Trials Fusion Rifle. It's called Kickstart. You gain a bonus to damage and charge rate during a slide after sprinting for a short duration. So this, to me, seems like backup plan on steroids, but all you have to do is sprint and slide. Well, the only thing I do with fusion rifles is sprint slide. So if I can get this perk, and it's on a high impact because Exile's Curse is a high impact.
Yeah.
If this perk is anywhere near as good as it sounds, I don't know that I will ever use another fusion rifle that doesn't have it. Because this to me sounds like, even if it's one stack of rampage, 10%, right? That's enough to basically, that's enough to do some damage. And if the increase to charge rate, because what it says is like you gain bonus damage and charge rate during a slide, only during a slide though.
Yeah.
So does that mean that it charges fast enough to where it charges and does damage during the slide? Or does that mean that if you start sliding, your charge rate increases? Or if you start sliding, your damage increases? Like I've got a bunch of ideas of how this could work in my head, but they all sound awesome.
Slow down there, Gandalf. I think what it means is that this is for Titans.
No. Unacceptable.
Titans can slide and fire this gun twice during the same slide. That's what it means.
And now they can slide, fire this gun, melee, build an impenetrable wall of ice in front of them, which, by the way, is enough to tank a Blade Barrage super, which I discovered in Mayhem trying to get the 50 Mayhem kills for the challenges. Very frustrating.
Well, that's exciting. I'm glad I have that to look forward to. So let's wrap up on that down note right there.
Jesus, that was a heck of an episode. We talked about all the new guns. We talked about all the new perks. Hopefully gave you guys some stuff to chase after. I'm excited for the loot this season. Like I haven't been in a long, long time. I am excited for the loot.
Tons of stuff to chase. I'm really pumped to start buffing up the recaster and hopefully be able to get some targeted loot chase going. Actually, I forgot to mention that is probably one of the things I'm most looking forward to for later in the season. Is once I've had the opportunity to get that unlocked. I like the way they're doing that too. If you notice, a lot of it is unlocked by using the type of weapon that you're chasing, which I think is a very fair way to do it. And it's something that everyone can do. We can all go into patrol and get kills with sidearms. Doesn't matter how good you are with them in the Crucible. So I'm pretty pumped for what they've done with that. I'm hoping it becomes a fixture in terms of like just that style of weapon chase for future seasons.
I'm ready to go get some weapons. Honestly, I'm ready to subject myself to trials, which is not something I often say, but gotta get that loot. But yeah, I think that's pretty much it. So we'll be back next week, guys. I don't know what weapons we are going to break down. It probably depends which weapons Kutch and I get over the week and can actually use and physically talk about. But hopefully we'll be able to do a breakdown next week. But I hope we gave you guys a lot to think about.
Yeah. This is shaping up to be a good first week here. So
hopefully. All right, guys. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Peace.